calibrates a sound heart, keeps you in tune with the Lord, and it'll celebrate a sound mind. And Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus are known as the pastoral epistles. They epistles that deal, Paul's giving charges to preachers there. And 2 Timothy 4 is probably the last thing that Paul wrote. He's about ready to have his head cut off in Rome. And he's charging Timothy. Timothy, most people say he's a young preacher, but I think at this point he's been around a pretty good bit. Paul mentions Timothy 28 times in his epistles. 28 times. He was close with Timothy. And he's giving him a charge, you know, and that's what you do when you get ready to ordain a preacher, you know. I've been in a few ordination services, had one, you know, and what you do when you get a preacher gets ready to go in the ministry, you wait till they take a church or go to the mission field. They usually do an ordination service, a bunch of preachers will come up, you know, lay hands on him, then you'll have somebody preach a charge, what they call. That's where they get it from right here, and I've been able to be involved in some of those. They're a real blessing. 2 Timothy 4:1, he's charging Timothy. And he said, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And verse 2 is, every preacher needs to know this. This is the preacher's creed right here. Preach the word. Amen. Preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season. There's some times that you have a hard time getting messages. There's some times you kind of drag up in the sermon and drag in the pulpit, but you got to preach it. You don't get to pick when you preach. You preach. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. That's preaching right there. It's reprove, rebuke, and exhort. Those are negative. With all longsuffering and doctrine. And he says this in verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And we're there. But after their own lust, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And I want to preach a little bit this evening on ear-tickling churches. Amen. I've heard preachers talk about it, and I originally titled this message, Ear-Tickling Preachers. But after looking at the text there, I got thinking, Brother Zito, there's not preaching there. They're not preaching, they're talking about teachers. When you get a real preacher, there's no such thing as an ear-tickling preacher, amen? A preacher's a preacher, that's all there is to it. So I titled it, Ear-Tickling Churches. And that verse says, the day will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And you've heard preachers talk about ear-tickling preachers and ear-tickling churches. And the idea behind that, they got itching ears. And if your ear's itching, you know what you want somebody to do is scratch and rub it. That's what they're talking about, tickling. It's like my dog, you know. My dog, she'll come over and what she wants you to do is rub her ears and pet her and just kind of tickle her a little bit. That's the way a lot of Christians are nowadays. They want to, just like the dog, they want you, the preacher, just come over there and just tickle their ears and massage their ears a little bit and just kind of make them feel good before they leave. Amen. That's what that means. Ear-tickling preachers, they have itching ears. And the Bible, it talks about that. And I've been around a lot of churches like that, unfortunately. I come in and I get out as quick as I can. Some of them like that. Amen. And we're talking about itching. That means to itch. It means to rub. It means to scratch. It means to tickle. Somebody said some people go to church to close their eyes. And some people go to eye the clothes. Amen. That's what you ladies know about that, don't you? I mean, people go for a lot of reasons. And these ear-tickling little churches, that's what they go to. They desire massages rather than messages. They want sermons that charm rather than challenge. They want to entertain rather than edify. And they want to please rather than hear preaching. That's what's going on in a lot of churches. And that's where we're at now. And the last thing they want in a lot of churches, last thing they want is a man get up and yell at them and scream at them and open up this book. That's the last thing a lot of churches want. I mean, you could put me in a lot of these churches and half those people would have a heart attack. I'm serious. I mean, some of these churches are so dead and their ears have been tickled so much. I mean, somebody like me, and I'm kind of lame compared to a lot of these preachers, but I mean, just somebody like me, it scares some of them half to death. I mean, I've had some visitors come in here before. I remember one time Pat had a friend come in here. I'll never forget it, and there was Sunday school. And I taught Sunday school, and the lady said, "Boy, that was some good preaching." And Pat said, "Oh, he ain't preaching yet." She thought that was preaching. She said, "Oh, he's not preaching yet, just wait." But you know what? A lot of churches, that's their preaching about, like something about Sunday school. I heard Brother Charlie say one time, and that's true. He said, "If you can't tell when a man's teaching and when he's preaching, he's not called to preach." Amen. There's a huge difference between teaching and preaching. Night and day. And you know what people want nowadays? They want teaching. Last days, they'll heap to their own lust. Teachers having itching ears. And I want to give you a few things about it. I like what Brother Roloff said one time. He said it used to be in this country, and Brother Roloff had a lot of wisdom. He went home to be with the Lord in 1980, but he had a lot of wisdom, even now. And he said it used to be in this country, he said a man would get in a horse and buggy, and a lost man would get in a horse and buggy and put his family in it, and they'd travel 2 hours in a wagon on a dusty road just to go hear a man of God preach, he said. He said, nowadays, you can't get somebody to go across the street in an air-conditioned building. And he said, you know where the problem's at? In the pulpit. He said, it used to be something to hear an old man of God get up in the pulpit, rear up his fist, and declare war on hell. He said, the problem is, what's going on in the pulpit now is putting them to sleep. That's what's going on. I'm going to give you a few things on ear-tickling churches. I'm going to say the first thing about them. Look at verse 3. For the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. First thing, they prohibit sound doctrine in their churches. The first thing to go in an ear-tickling little church, the first thing they get out the door is sound doctrine. They don't want any doctrine in the church. Most of these churches, you know what they are? They're non-denominational. I mean, it's basically, I call them zoos is what I call them. Every little crab creature walking around, you got a Methodist giraffe over here and a Baptist elephant over here. And I mean, it's nothing but a zoo going on over there. I mean, there's no way the preacher can preach no doctrine. I mean, if he did, he'd have a civil war break out right there. And what they do, they prohibit doctrine in their churches. They don't want doctrine. Bible said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. I preached about doctrine last week. You get doctrine in some of these churches. When I was down in Florida, they got cockroaches as big as cars, man. I'm serious, don't they? They're big. You could get on a ride around the house on them. And when you lived like we lived in Bible school, you didn't have a mansion. I slept on the floor for several years. I had a little mattress about that big in a little trailer, and it was just big enough to lay the mattress on the floor, and I slept on it. But I felt good because I was beat after going to school and working all day and studying half the night. But boy, you get in there, and you get up in the middle of the night, and you go in there, and you turn the light on. The whole room's moving. I mean, those cockroaches running all over the place, you know. And as soon as you turn the light on, boy, they start heading for cover, amen. That's the way a lot of church folks are, isn't it? I mean, you turn the light of sound doctrine on, and those cockroaches, they'll start running from cover. I mean, we've had a few come in here, and they say, "Oh, I love this church, Brother Ted. Oh, man, that's a preaching." And as soon as I hit a little doctrine, they head with the light, man. Getting out the door. I mean, there's just something about doctrine. And these ear-tickling little churches, the first thing they do is they prohibit any doctrine. I've talked to some before. And they'll say, "Now, preacher, now, brother, let's don't talk about doctrine now." You ever had them do that? And I mean, what else is there to talk about when you talk about the Bible? Now, let's don't get in no doctrinal issues kind of thing, you know. I mean, what is there? A lot of those churches, they prohibit the doctrine. And they're just pasteurized, sensitized, and sanitized dead places. I mean, it's like walking on eggshells when you go in those places. You know, they pipe the hymns up there, you know, and all that. No doctrine, brother. Nothing going on. I want to say they prohibit doctrine. They don't want nothing that'll upset the cart. This church here, their churches are politically correct, and their Bible neglect, and they're spiritually derelict, what they are. I mean nothing preaching. Somebody said going to those churches is like shaving with a banana. You're not going to do anything. You're not going to get anything. They prohibit doctrine. We're a Baptist church, amen. We're a Baptist because of what the Baptists believe. I'm not a Baptist brother. I think there's saved people all over the place in different denominations. But I like that name Baptist on there because it'll separate immediately some of the riffraff. Brother Vincent came out here that day. I told Brother Vincent, I said, now we're a Baptist. And I said, when I mean we're a Baptist, I said we're anti-charismatic. We don't believe in none of that stuff. We don't believe apostolic signs are around. We believe all that stuff died in the book of Acts. And I said, we're a Bible-believing church, and we're a King James-only Baptist. And I said, we're not only King James-only. We believe the new versions are satanic counterfeits. I said, you believe that? He said, yeah. And that's what we are. We want to take a stand. We're a Baptist church. We're an independent, Bible-believing, King James Baptist church. And we don't want to hide it. We're proud of it. If anybody comes here and asks me 2 seconds, I can tell them exactly what this church believes. And they believed it before I got here under Brother Larry Cooper, by the way. I didn't bring it in. He believed it before he ever got. He's wanting to put the AB 1611 right on that door. What he believed. That's what we believe. And when you do that, you know what you do? You wipe out about 75% of the Christians right there. That's it. You say, why? They don't want to talk about doctrine. They don't want to talk about that kind of stuff. I'm not a Southern Baptist. There's some good Southern Baptists. There's been some great ones through the years. I'm not a Southern Baptist. As far as I'm concerned, I call them Baptaholics. They're a cross between a Baptist and a Catholic. They got a pope. It's called the Southern Baptist Convention. Runs the show. You know who runs the show here? The Lord runs the show. We don't have nobody. We're going to go out and talk to the convention and see what we need to do. Bless God, we'll get on our knees, get in this altar, and try to get hold of God and figure out what this church needs to do. Amen. And we know what's best in this church based upon what God. They don't know out there. We know what's going on. We met with the deacons and trustees. We had our meeting today. We got together and talked about supporting Brother Vincent Victor as that missionary that came in. We talked about it. We're going to try to pursue that and see what we can do about it through mission board. And we do. We'll let the church know what's going on if we do that. But we don't have to go to some Southern Baptist convention, some board, and say, could we support Brother Vincent? Or send somebody, bless God, we want God in this thing and have the freedom to worship God under this church. The churches, they prohibit doctrine. Not about doctrine. Had one man coming here a while back. He visited one time. He's a good guy. He visited one time, sat back there, and he asked me, he said, preacher, what association are you with? You know what I told him? I said, brother, the only association we're with is the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. He said, we're not tied to nobody. Kind of shocked him. He's so used to all these churches being tied with associates. I've had a preacher call me up here a while back, and they were getting together, all these preachers and pastors, you know. He asked me to come out, and all I was thinking, I don't want to go to that, and I didn't go. He said, oh, we're going to have this pastor meeting, and all these pastors that get there, and I don't want to get there and hear a bunch of pastors get up there and, oh, God's been blessing me. Oh, we're just running them out the door. I've been around some of those things. You have too. That's the way that goes. I remember John Killian, a friend of mine. He pastors out in Muggle out there. And he's the one, Brother Jeff, you'd like him. He's the head of the Republican thing in the state of Alabama. You see him on TV. I've known him a long time, Brother Killian. And Brother Killian called me one time, and he went to a church, and he saw the Sword of the Lord. Sword of the Lord puts the churches in there and how many they're running. And he said that church said they were running 200. And he went to that church, Miss Liz, they had about 25. And he asked that preacher, he said, I read in the Sword of the Lord, y'all got running 200. He said, that's how many we got on road, brother. Bless God, we could get down there in the back, Brother Don, and go through all those filing cabinets. I bet we could get 1,000 people on the road. Just how many people per leg running? Oh, we're running about 1,000. That's how many we run out, by the way. There have been about 1,000 come through the door. We just keep running right out, amen. I mean, brother, they prohibit doctrine. I remember I heard a preacher one time out of Glory Land, had a preacher's fellowship. Years and years ago, one of the greatest preachers I ever heard in my whole life, and I've heard a lot of them. His name was Brother Cooper, by the way. He lived in Mississippi. And that guy was a redneck. I mean, I would be a Harvard grad compared to this guy. And he got up there, he's in his 50s. He is a used car salesman, had a used car lot. Never been married, lived with his parents. That age. He had a church for about 20 years, and he was running 8 in his church. That's all he had. And he got up and preached. He preached on the Pharisee. By the Pharisee, it means wearing a mask. And that's when we wear a mask and we're trying to be something we're not. You know, that's what a Pharisee is, you know. They're trying to make you, they think they're real spiritual, you know. And the Lord said, they'll get out there and pray and have those long prayers and all that, try to impress. That's a Pharisee. He is preaching about the Pharisee. And he said, somehow, some way, somebody invited him to this ministerial association meeting. And here he goes in there, 8 people. And he said, I'll never forget it. And I mean, he was a redneck of rednecks, this boy. And he said, he got there, and those preachers went around, they started going around giving testimonies. And you know, you hear those preachers, they get this voice. Oh, God's been blessing us. Oh, I mean, Brother, God's been pouring down a blessing over here. Oh, we've been seeing the Holy Ghost of God moving. And you know, you heard them. And they got over to Brother Cooper. They got him. He said, man, I don't know what's going on. He said, man, my church is dead. I tell you what, he said, God hadn't moved in 2 years in that church. He said, man, I don't know what I'm doing anymore. And he said, about that time, all them guys started getting on their knees and started getting right with God. Amen. I mean, sometimes, brother, they prohibit that doctrine and they don't want to hear the truth anymore. I tell you, those ear-tickling churches, they prohibit doctrine. After they get rid of the doctrine, next thing they do, you know what? Look what it says. Verse 3. For the time will come, they will not endure doctrine. But after their own lust, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. After they get rid of the sound doctrine and prohibit doctrine, they promote man. It said, after their own lust, what they want. I don't know if you figured it out in this church yet, but this church is not about uplifting man. I'm an equal opportunity skeptic of man. I'll hit Donald Trump. I'll hit Hillary Clinton. I'll hit every idol, every person you got. Nick Saban to Bear Bryant. I preached about Bear Bryant one time in the church, and a guy got up and ran out the door. I said, bless God, Bear Bryant didn't walk on that water. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. He got up and got mad and walked out the door. I'm serious. Because they had a picture of Bear Bryant walking on water, y'all remember, years ago. And I said, he didn't walk on it. I said, that's blasphemy.
Amen.
Amen. I'm an equal opportunity skeptic of man. I believe let God be true and every man a liar, including me, doubly me, amen. Like I told you, don't believe me, believe the book. Amen. You know what these churches do? They promote man and lift him up. It's all about men. This church here, what we're trying to do is lift up the Lord Jesus Christ. What we're trying to do in this church is lift him up, get out there and give out tracts, try to get people out of hell. It's all about him. And brother, if you hadn't got that in this church yet, you need to get the banana out of your ear. Amen. And I didn't start it. I remember Brother Cooper, that was one of his favorite things, wasn't it? He'd get down there that finger. It's not about Brother Terry. It's not about Brother Jeff, didn't he? It's not about Brother Don. It's about him. That's what he'd say all the time. And he meant every word of it, didn't he? I want to tell you, brother, they promote man. I looked on the internet. Looked at some of Joel Osteen's books. I read the first two or three. I didn't know he'd written a whole bunch more since then. I wrote a big old article about him. Before I write some about somehow, I'm going to read them. I'm going to know about. I went through all his interviews. I found out about the guy and wrote an article. I had some of his church members cuss me out. Boy, they lose their spirituality when you yuck your God. I'm serious. He got, listen to these books. Listen to this stuff. Think better, live better, a victorious life begins in your mind. Cuckoo, cuckoo. Declare 31 promises to speak over your life. You can, you will, 8 undeniable qualities of a winner. It's all about man. Break out. 5 keys to go beyond your barriers and live an extraordinary life. It's your time. Activate your faith. Achieve your dream. Increase in God's favor. Your best life now. 7 steps to living at your full potential. You know what that's about? Man, 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 man. Turn to Genesis chapter 3 and Matthew 16. You know what these churches do? They promote man. They lift up man just like Osteen. Oh, you can reach your potential. All about man. Lifting up man. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, Matthew 16. Look what the devil says to Adam and Eve in 3:5. He tempts them. He said, "For the night knoweth that the day when thou eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods." That's what their message is right there. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 22. There's Jesus going up to Jerusalem to be crucified. In Matthew 16, 22, it said, "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. And he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan." Called him Satan. "For thou art an offense unto me, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but unto man." You know what the devil does? He lifts up man. What he told Adam and Eve, you'll be as gods. You know what Jesus said? A Satanist is somebody that savors not the things of God, but of man. That's what these churches do. They're promoting man. Joel Osteen's latest book. You're not going to believe this. You talking about blasphemous. This blew my mind. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. Turn to Exodus chapter 3. You know what these churches do? They promote men. Exodus chapter 3. Look at verse 14. There's Moses coming before the Lord. This is one of the greatest statements in the Bible, by the way. Exodus 3:14, there's Moses going before the Lord. He asked the Lord, he said, "When I go there and the children of Israel ask, who is it that sent me? What am I going to tell him?" Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, "I am that I am." He said, "Thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent you." That's the title of God Almighty. That's His title. You know what Joel Osteen's latest book is? It's titled, The Power of I Am. 2 words that will change your life today. In other words, you're the I Am in Joel Osteen's book. It says this. These two words give you the power to change your life. Yes, they can. In his new book, Joel Osteen shares a profound principle based on one simple truth. Whatever follows the words I am will always appear for you. That's God saying that. That's a title to God. He said, that's you. That's not you. That's right out of hell, brethren. He goes on to say, his insights and encouragement are illustrated with amazing stories of people who turn their lives around by focusing on the positive power of this principle. With the power of I am as a guide, readers will stop criticizing themselves and discover their inner strengths or natural talents and unique abilities that will make them proper as they focus on I am. Brother, that's out of hell. That's blasphemous. That's as bad as you can get right there. They promote man over God right there. They ask Anton LaVey, He wrote the Satanic Bible. He's the one that started the first church of Satan. They asked him one time in an interview. They said, can you define Satanism in one word? He said, yeah, man. Man. The devil lifts up man. These churches, they promote man. You can turn over there, John the Baptist. Jesus said in Matthew 11, he said about John the Baptist, he said, among men born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. And they came to John one time. They said, who are you over there preaching? Are you that prophet? Are you somebody? He said, I'm a nobody. He said, who in the world are you? He'd say, well, you could reach your full potential. I am that I am. Had to been Osteen. He said, who in the world are you, boy? He said, I'm just a voice of one crying in the wilderness, is all I am. And he goes on later in John chapter 3, and he says about Jesus, he must increase, I must decrease. That's not what they're saying in there. That's not what Paul said over in Philippians chapter 3. He said, well, what things were gained to me? Those I counted loss for Christ. And he said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of Christ Jesus my Lord, whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, what he said. He said one time, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but not I, that Christ that liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave him. That's not what Joel Osteen's preaching, brethren. Those men said, I'm nothing. I'm nothing. Paul said one time, I die daily. They promote men. Not only that, these churches, I'll tell you something else about them. They don't preach the Word of God. They do not preach the Word. This book right here scare them to death. It's right here. It's forbidden in some of those churches. I gave you a statistic a while back over there, 2 Timothy verse 4. Paul told him 4:2, preach the Word, preach the Word, preach the Word. They don't preach the Word of God. They preach everything but the Word of God. And some of them don't even know if they got it or not. Amen. They don't know. They think somewhere, someplace, maybe on the earth, there's a Word of God. I got news for them. I have a copy right here. I mean, some of them talk about the Greek and the original and all that. You know what all they do? All they do is confuse people and make people doubt what they hold in their hands, the Word of God. And that's why a lot of Christians don't read it no more. Why read something you don't even know what it's about? They don't preach the Word of God. They don't lift it up. It says over there in Timothy, it said, but they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. They turn the Word of God into fables, what they've done in these churches. And I tell you, brother, nothing makes me madder than that. You want to get me mad, you mess with the Lord, or you mess with that book. I mean, that book saved my old soul, man. That's the book I got hold of and read it and got saved. Jesus Christ spoke to me through that book, brother. And when they start messing with the book, brother, that's the time to start. You know what? They don't preach the Word of God. This Bible will do a work in you, brethren. I gave you a statistic a while back, and I went and looked it up here when I was working on this message. I wanted to make sure I was right. And I went and looked it up again, and according to Survey American Bible Society, 25% of churchgoers have never heard the Bible quoted one time in a church. And we wonder why our country's shut to hell. I tell you why. It's not in the churches. They don't preach the Word of God anymore. Bible says over in Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I'll send a famine in the land. Not a famine of bread, not a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. Brother, we're there. I'm telling you. We're in trouble. You know why a lot of these churches... they don't want preachers. We want a teacher. That's what they want. We had one here a while back, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about. He said, I got a lot more when I went in Bible teachers. He left pretty soon. He came to me a few weeks for that. He said, Brother Terry, I got more out of this church than any church I've ever been in. When they tell you that, you might as well open the door. You know, they're putting you up to something kind of thing. I want to tell you, they don't preach the Word of God anymore in these churches. It'll offend you. It'll get you mad. It'll do something for you.
It's books. It's a sword. It said, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Jeremiah chapter 48 verse 10. Used to have this on the wall in my house. Brother Waller that was here made me a big thing out of it. Put it on my wall. And it said, Jeremiah 48 10. Said, cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. Brother, this right here is the sword of the Lord. Ephesians chapter 6, 17, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, 12, say the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And brother, when you preach that word of God, I'm going to tell you, brother, it'll cut them. You know what the Latin word for sermon is? It means to stab. That's what it means. That's what it means. And that sermon, that word of God to get out of here, it ought to stab you right in the heart. What'd you do with my sword, by the way? You didn't bring my sword. I thought you was going to bring it in. I had a sword Miss Carol brought. You know what that Bible ought to do? It ought to bring blood, spiritual blood. When you preach the Word of God, they don't preach the Word of God. I want to say also, and I want to say this morning just along with that, I'm not trying to step on your toes, by the way. I'm trying to stab you right in the heart with that book, amen. If I step on your toes, we're just doing a little dancing. We're not doing any dancing. We're here to preach, amen. And we're here to take that Bible and just wham you right in you there. Man, I've been in churches. Brother, I've been bleeding all over the floor, man. I've been in Brother Lackey preaching before. I had to crawl down the altar. I couldn't even walk down. I'd just get out and crawl like one of them little kids, man. Bleeding all over the place. That Bible ought to call blood. They don't preach the Word of God. I'm going to give you one more point. I got some more. I'm just going to give you one more. They don't prepare you for the world. You know what I try to do in this church? Why I give you news articles and all the stuff about Trump and Hillary and crew, all of it. I tell you, the ground's level when it comes to me, man. I'm after them. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to get you sick of this stinking world, what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get you so sick of this world, when you walk out that door, you'll be holding your nose. Woo! We came out here one Sunday. Remember, Brother Jeff, and there's a dead rat in the back, a little mouse. I mean, man, the minute you open that door, bam! Little bitty mouse back there. But I mean, boy, it'd knock you down, wouldn't it? That's what I'm trying to do about the world. I'm trying to get that world to stink so much in you. It'd be like when you walked in that dead mouse. When you walk out that door, when you leave church, you're going, phew! Oh, that place stinks. You know what I'm trying to do? Prepare you for the world. Because that world is not your home. It's not your friend. The Bible said, if any man love the world or the things of the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Says, oh, I didn't write that. Paul said one time, God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me. He's dead to that thing. You know what these churches do? They bring the world inside the church. They got Starbucks in churches. They'll have a Walmart in here for long, you watch. For long, one of these churches, they'll have Walmart. We got, come on down, we got Walmart. My wife probably go down there shopping if she does. Now they get a Hibbett Spartan or something, Home Depot, we might have to check it out, you know. But there's no telling what else. They just bring the world in. Brother Scott Justice was telling me he went to Church of Highlands for something. And he was telling Brother Terry, honest to goodness, they got a shopping mall in that church. He said they got Starbucks in that church. They all got all kind of little stores. I said they got everything in there but God, don't they? Amen. You know what they do? They don't prepare you for the world. They bring it right in there. I'm trying to make this world stink to you when you leave the door. I want you to know this world's not your home. It's not where you need to be. You need to be above the clouds walking with the Lord. These ear-tickling churches, they just bring it in. Galatians 1, chapter 1, verse 4 says this, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world according to the will of God, and our Father. Now I read that. Every time I read that, I think to myself, Paul says he delivers us from this present evil world, they didn't have the internet. They didn't have a Walmart. They didn't have TV. Everyone had some of these preacher sermons right there. I mean, there's nothing that we think is so evil, and yet Paul said he'll deliver us from this present evil. That whole world's evil out there, according to Paul. Brother, these churches, they don't prepare you for the world. I'm trying to give you some of this stuff so you don't get sucked into some of this filth. Christians get sucked in it and all excited all the time. I'm trying to get you looking unto Jesus, author and finisher of our faith, and keep your eyes on Him. This world, it'll suck you in as soon as you walk out the door if you're not careful. I'll close with this. I like what Nick Saban said about the election. I got thinking about that when I heard that, and I thought, that's the way I need to be, Lord. That election came up. It was the day of the election. They asked him to vote or something. He said, I didn't even know it was election day. It was the day of the election day. That's the way I want to be. I want to be, he's so focused on football. That guy's so focused, Brother Zito, Brother Ben. He don't even think about nothing else. I was thinking, when you heard that, I was thinking, boy, Lord, that's the way I need to be. Dr. Ruckman's that way. You ever talk to him about anything going on in the world? He didn't know what you're talking about. He had no idea what was happening. I mean, he was so focused, that stuff. And I'm telling you, bro, I'd like to be so focused on the Lord that all that stuff on the side, the world don't even say who's... I should be like one of them people on Waters World when he old Waters goes out for a rally and he asks them, do you know who's running for president? He asked one of them, he went around there one time wanting to know, what do you think about having Karl Marx as a vice president for Hillary Clinton? Did y'all see that? And he is going, oh, I said, I think that's a good idea, Karl Marx. Yeah, yeah. He died in 1832, I think. I'd like to be so focused on the Lord, Brother Zito. Somebody come to me and say, who'd you vote for? I'd probably say, did Reagan run? Last time I voted, Reagan. You know what these churches do? They don't prepare you for the world. They bring the world to you. I'm trying to get you out. They don't propagate the Lord Jesus Christ either. You know, we go out to these churches, we go out here and knock on doors. It amazes me, Brother Zito. Brother Jeff, you was with me the other day, Miss Mary Seals. And you got all these huge churches around here. I'm talking about mega churches. I'm talking about you go down Deerfoot Parkway, when we come to church, they got churches on every corner now. I mean big churches. They had a fall festival, man. You thought Alabama and Auburn was playing. They had so many cars all over the place. All these people. You know what they tell us when they knock on doors? You're the only people that ever come by here. Here's this little bitty church. And not that many people even go out, but here's this little bitty church. All these big churches of thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And this little church, we're trying to propagate and publish the Lord Jesus Christ more than all those churches combined. Isn't that unbelievable? That's sad.
Amen, brother.
That's a tragedy.
Amen.
That lady, Mary Sells, she told us, me and Jeff talked to her, she is the sweetest saint of God. And she said, when I was younger, every church used to do this. She said, y'all are the only church that's been by here in the Jehovah Witness.
Amen.
You know, they don't even believe in hell. And they get a lot of doors slammed in their face. But you know what? They're building a big church over here. You say, why? They're getting converts.
Amen.
You say, why? You know what these big old ear-tickling churches don't do? They don't propagate the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not getting it out. It's amazing. This little church, how many... Every house we knocked on the other day, Brother Jeff, did they not say that? How many times, Brother Zito, we've had some of them say, man, my church ought to be doing this. We're the only ones. It'd be a different world if they get out there and do it. And you know something? When this country was great and Christians and had it in there, churches did that. They did it. All right, let's bow our heads in prayer tonight.